Greetings, everybody. It's festival sense is in the air, and that's wonderful, just absolutely wonderful. Brethren, I want to give a short message today. I'll give you the title. It's simply contrasts, contrasts, because as we understand, God's word is a word that illustrates contrast. We see the negatives of society. We see the way society is, and we see the direction that it's going in this present world. But the Bible gives another story, doesn't it? It gives the reverse. It gives the contrast of the way it could be, but not only the way it could be, the way it will be, brethren. And that, of course, is what these fall holy day seasons depict. Not the way the world is experiencing right now, because what the world experiences right now is not good. It's not good at all. It's quite bad in so many respects. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, brethren, that are the opposite. The opposite. It paints a picture, brethren, of the way the world is now, the situation, the current world condition, and the way it's going to become very soon. A total contrast, a total turnaround. So I want you to turn, if you would, with me to Joel, the third chapter. Joel 3. I want to read here in verse 9, a couple of verses here going forward. And it kind of paints a picture of the way the world is right now. You can kind of analyze society and break it down into various components. And what you will see is, in the area of health care, there are trillions of dollars worldwide being spent on health care because people are suffering many, many illnesses, disease, chronic things that are going on. The hospitals are filled with patients. And the health, generally speaking, brother, is not good across the board around the world. And so massive amounts of money is being spent. But you know, there is a different story that's just ahead of us that's going to show that healthcare like that is going to be a thing of the past, because God is going to intervene and he's going to bring about a condition through his government of universal healing. Can anybody hardly wait for that? I know I can hardly wait for that, brethren. A time when universal healing is going to go forth from Jerusalem. A contrast. So the hopelessness and the despair that we see in this world, that's not the end of the story. That's only what we see right now. And going forward, there's going to be a complete change, a complete contrast to what we see. Now, another area, I just might ask you or suggest to you that think of the trillions of dollars that are going to be freed up to be used for beneficial things. All these monies that are being dumped into various government projects, which basically go nowhere. It's kind of like throwing money down a rat hole. It's going to change, and that money is going to be freed up. And we are going to create utopian conditions in the world. A total change from what we see today. That's just ahead of us, brethren. And so another aspect of that is military hardware. Joel 3 verse 10 talks about the condition of this world right now. What's happening around us? And I got a few data and statistics I can read to you. But anyway, in verse 9 it says, "Proclaim you among the Gentiles, among the nations of the world, prepare war." Brethren, when they say prepare war, nothing could be more true than that little statement right there, because that's the way the world has existed for 6,000 years. It's been based on war. It's been based on this kind of facing off between nations and this antagonism that ultimately results in warfare. look at this little statistic I've got here where it's talking about the amount of expenditures spent annually in the world on military hardware. 60% of global military spending came from five countries. Of course, that's just talking about the five. And then there's a few more added in, but you'll be interested to know that Canada is number 19. So we're not, you know, we're prepared for war as well. People don't realize that. Money that's being spent, I forget the figure, I think it's something like $21 billion a year. The annual budget of Canada is being spent on military hardware, preparing for war to defend ourselves against enemies. Think about the world tomorrow, brethren, when that money is going to be freed up and the good that that money can be spent for. It's going to change drastically. But anyway, the United States spends $649 billion a year on military preparedness. China, $250 billion. You know, we'd have thought the Chinese were almost neck and neck with the Americans, but not quite. They're about half. But they're still spending significant amounts. Saudi Arabia is number three, $67 billion. India, $66 billion. France, $63 billion. And Russia comes in number six at $61 billion. People would have thought, well, Russia is right up there with the top. But they're not quite. They're quite a way down. But they are not an economically powerful nation. So that's why they are lower. The United Kingdom is $50 billion. You put that all together, brethren, and you look at how the world can be changed drastically if instead of feeding these military complexes in preparedness for war, if that was instead redirected into productive purposes. There's going to be a lot of money that's going to be freed up, brethren, to promote the utopia of the kingdom of God, the world tomorrow. Let's read verse 10 of Joel 3. Beat your plowshares into swords. In other words, military comes first. And the weaponry is just enormous. This world is armed to its teeth. It really is. And it's just waiting for a spark to ignite the fuse so that World War III will blow up in our faces. That's what it's saying. Let the weak say, I am strong. North Korea, brethren, is an example. A country that's destitute, poverty-stricken, but they're determined to become to be a nuclear force on the world stage. So let the weak say, I'm strong. And then it talks about assembling themselves together, all the heathen, verse 11. And it talks about the time of Jesus Christ's return. Of course, ultimately, the final climactic battle that you probably heard about on the Feast of Trumpets is going to take place. And, of course, it's going to take place where they are actually going to war against Jesus Christ and his angelic army. And, of course, the saints are going to be somehow in that mix as well somewhere. So we see that that is what's going to happen. Verse 16, the Lord will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. They're arming for war, brethren, but they're never going to be able to be successful fighting a war against a spiritual army. You know what happens? You lose. But that's what's going to happen, brethren. I want to show the contrast to these verses in Joel, the third chapter, by going back to Isaiah, because it says here, again, Just pointing this out, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. In other words, take every bit of implementation that you can, everything that you manufacture in your manufacturing basis, turn it into military hardware, because that's the world we live in. And warfare has been the constant throughout this age of the 6,000 years of Satan's misrule over man. Now let's look at the contrast, Brendan, because this is going to come very quickly. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Very interesting, because Isaiah paints an opposite picture. the second chapter. This is interesting. And this, brethren, is why we're going up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, because we're going up to celebrate a soon coming time of peace, prosperity, utopian conditions. This world's going to be a thing of the past. Now, you think about it, brethren. Some of the trials that you go through, I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, you go through a trial, and you can think back and think back about the specifics of it. I'd rather forget about it and just move on. I just say, I don't even want to think about it. I think that's the way it will be, brethren. We'll want to forget about this age and focus on the kingdom of God on earth, because it's going to be a fantastic time. And that's exactly why you and I are going up to celebrate it. It says in Isaiah 2, verse 3, many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain or kingdom of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Brethren, his ways is the opposite to war. His ways produce happiness, peace, joy, and all the rest of it. It produces salvation for mankind, because that's why we have been created. That's why you are here breathing air, because God is reproducing himself. That's why. And people are going to find out about that. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. Right government at last. And we can really rejoice in that, brethren. In closing, let's read the next verse, because it's very insightful. There is hope. There is something to truly look forward to. And it is the contrast. It paints the contrast to what this age currently illustrates and shows us. The way of war, the way of defending oneself, the way of nations being very suspect of each nation, the nation, their neighboring nations, and so on. It's going to change, brethren, and it's going to be totally opposite, because it says here in verse 4, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And that rebuke, brethren, of course, is bringing people to a profound repentance and a humble attitude, so that they can view and look and seek God with all of their hearts and to learn to become like him. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. It's going to be a turnaround. No more the opposite, where it said in Joel, plowshares into swords. It's the opposite. Jesus Christ is going to change things drastically, brethren. And that is one of the big reasons why we are celebrating his feasts. Brethren, we are going up to visualize a wonderful time, a fantastic time that you can't even hardly wrap your mind around, brethren. There's a lot to rejoice over in the Feast of Tabernacles and the coming Holy Days, brethren. So let's keep that in mind. God is going to change this world in a drastic way, in a major way. And we, brethren, are going to rejoice with all of humanity as these changes do come.